open blade. Tanger held out his hand. "One word of caution," I said. "If you try to touch it directly, it will burn the skin."
"I could do it," Trina said.
"If you wore gloves, maybe," Gabe put in.
"Yes, after pouring his life force into this dagger, I'm sure that Lord Endrick overlooked that tiny detail." I scowled. "Only a Haldarian can touch the blade, and only someone worthy of it can claim it." Trina leaned forward.
"Who would you consider worthy of the blade? Someone like you? For a while, I thought we might become friends, that maybe you weren't the spoiled, selfish girl I had expected to meet. But I underestimated you. You are pure Dalasor, cold and calculating and with a soul more dead than the Iron Hearts. You lied to us. You lied to me. Despite knowing everything I risked to get that dagger. Never ask for my help again. Never ask me to care for you. Because if you do ask, I will turn my back and remember that you only think of yourself."
As recently as 3 days ago, I would have responded with every cruel thing I could think of to say, including an insult to her grandmother or a comment on the angle of her nose. 3 days ago, I'd have made sure the last word was mine, as all Dalasors did. Which was her point. My ears rang with her accusation that I was pure Dalasor. I had been raised by them, my opinions and attitudes shaped by their prejudices and desire for power. Yet within my veins, I was Endrian, bearing the same blood as the wicked man to whom the Dalasors kneeled. Both in body and in spirit, I was irredeemable, which meant I could hardly deny Trina's accusations. But Tanger felt differently. He stood, seeming to tower over her and intending it that way.
"Kestra Dalasor is not our enemy, Trina. Obviously, there must be consequences for what she's done. But we want her on our side."
Trina might have missed her captain's meaning.
"Consequences? I'll take that dagger from her, sir, and run her through with it."
Which, I noted, was a fine reason not to give her the dagger. I stood as well, putting the wrapped blade behind me. To Tanger, I said, "You'd trust the Olden Blade to someone who hands out threats like sugared treats? This weapon will doom our country if mishandled. Do not trust this responsibility to her." Tanger sighed and nodded. At least we agreed on that.
"Trina, you will leave us."
"But I..."
"You need rest. Now go."
Trina shot me a glare that could cut stone, and probably confirmed her accusations against me. I had gotten the last word after all. With a pronounced frown at Tanger, she stomped up the stairs and left. A cold silence followed in her wake, none of us entirely sure what should happen next.
"Much of what she said about you was true,"
Tanger began. "Much of what she said was not," I countered. "For example, I never wanted her for a friend." A grin tugged at his mouth.
"Join us, Kestra. It will take some time for us to trust each other, but you would be a valuable addition to the Korax."
I looked over at Darrow, not at all subtly. "Let's make a bargain. Choose a Haldarian who has the spirit and the skill to defeat Endrick. If it's someone I can support, then I will join the Korax and help your infidant succeed." Tanger tilted his head.
"My choice will succeed, I assure you. Give me the blade."
His choice wasn't Darrow. Surely he meant himself. The thought that all of us might be forced to follow this man into battle turned my stomach. "Darrow and I need a horse and wagon. Once he's in it and I'm in the driver's box, I will give you the blade." Tanger smiled and nodded at Gabe, who drew his lever blade again.
"You must know you've lost any chance to set terms."
The exact reason for my anger was Simon. Before Gabe came any closer, I put the dagger down on the table, then pushed it across to Tanger. "The master of the Olden Blade bears a terrible responsibility. I hope you understand that. Now Darrow and I need that wagon." Tanger picked up the dagger inside its cloth, examined it. Then when he was satisfied, he stood and said to Loel,
"Find Simon and tend to his injuries. Gabe, You wait outside the door to be sure she doesn't try escaping.
No, I'm free to go. I bit into the words. You lied!
As did you, my dear.
Tanger gave me a polite bow. An insult, really. Then followed Gabe out of the room. The instant he closed the door, I ran over to Darrow, falling on my knees beside him. Nothing in his appearance had changed from the last few minutes, but he did seem to be breathing easier. The medicine, is it helping?
It will soon, Kestra. They haven't been unkind. At her request, Celia was assigned to watch over me, and to bring me anything I need. She should be here soon.
She probably would be, if I had not frightened her and accused her of so many foul things. I had a temper, too. Why didn't you tell me, Darrow? Tears welled in my eyes. Why didn't you tell me I'm Endrian? A slight gasp escaped him, though this seemed to come from emotional rather than physical pain. His whole expression softened when he looked at me. An unspoken apology.
Tell you such a cruel thing? And describe how you'd be hated and targeted by every clan in the country? How you'd be compared to Endric as if you were anything like him? How could I do that?
What am I supposed to do now? I'll never kneel to Endric again, but he's my blood, maybe the last of my blood. Do I help these people kill him? Darrow shook his head.
I must tell you.
Am I meant to develop magic? If so, is it true that it will corrupt me?
You must avoid magic at all costs.
Darrow's eyes were open wide, and clearer than they had been before.
Endric can sense magic. If he decides to come after you, no one will be able to protect you.
Except the Infidant. I intend to help him go after Endric instead. Darrow, I'll help you do that. He blinked hard, as if he'd heard me wrong. I touched his arm. By tomorrow morning, you'll be well enough to travel. You must go back to the Haldarians, to your people. Captain Tanger will offer them the Olden Blade. You need to claim it. He shook his head.
I'm no one, Kestra. Only a servant.
A servant who has more talent with a sword than anyone I've ever known. You have access to the Dalasaurs, and thus to Lord Endric. And you have me. Once you become the Infidant, I will do everything I can to help you succeed. Please, Darrow. You must go to that ceremony. Darrow closed his eyes.
For your sake, I will do it. But I must go alone. You are not safe among my people. Not unless...
From out on the stairway where Gabe still waited, footsteps pounded down toward us. Simon burst through the door, breathless and clutching his side. I guess Loel had started treating him, but she clearly hadn't finished. He crossed the room to me in three wide steps.
That bump on the back of your neck, where Lord Endric touched you. I need to see it.
I stood and pulled my hair over one shoulder. He whispered,
I'm sorry. This might hurt.
And he pressed his thumb down on the bruise. I gasped and reached up to my neck. He wasn't just pushing on the bruise. He was moving his thumb around it, each motion sending new sparks of pain through me.
What are you doing to her?
Darrow attempted to sit up and failed. Stop that. Simon did stop, but his eyes were wild with fear.
We must leave immediately.
Why? What's wrong?
Gabe's proximity alarms are going off.
He grabbed my hand, taking me toward the doorway where Darrow had come in. Tunnels lay straight ahead, but he was pulling me up a separate set of stairs, not even allowing me a chance to tell Darrow goodbye.
Do you trust me?
I'm furious with you.
Yes, but do you trust me?
He stopped on the stairs long enough to say,
The bruise on your neck is there because something is beneath the flesh, placed there by Lord Endric. Tanger believes Lord Endric has a kind of magic that allows him to track a person, to find them wherever they are.
I'm being tracked?
If he finds you, he finds the heart of the rebellion. Tanger is getting as many people as he can out of Sylvan. We must get you out, too. The Dominion armies are coming.
We weren't to the top of the stairs before an explosion outside shook the earth. They were not coming. The Dominion armies were here. Chapter 43. Kestra. I pulled against Simon's hand. We have to go back for Darrow.
He tugged in his direction. As long as that tracker is in your neck, bringing Darrow with you is the worst thing we could do. Let's get as far from Sylvan as we can and hope to draw the armies away from him.
A cheerful thought. I would bring their armies to me. We climbed a set of stairs, pushing up on a door built into the floor that took us into a humble family home, with a cradle in the corner. Whoever lived here was probably on their way out of town already. Or at least, I hoped they were. The Dominion would not spare them just because they had children. We hurried out the door onto a road with hundreds of people who were already swarming southward. The armies must be coming from the north, where more explosions continued shaking the ground. Every boom surely represented deaths, of Korax, their sympathizers, and far too many innocents who might never have guessed a rebellion was among them.
I left a horse here.
Simon looked up and down the road, his grip on my hand tightening.
It's gone. Wait here and hide.
What about Darrow?
Someone else will come for him.
I can help. He pushed me back into the gap between the home we had just come from and a neighboring building.
If you wanted to help, then you should have told me about the Olden Blade. Stay here and hide until I get back. Nothing gets easier if you're recognized.
I shook my head. If you come back with this tracker, if you're with me... Simon met my eyes.
I'm coming back, and we're getting out of here together. Wait here.
Before I could answer, he ran off, moving against the direction of the crowd. These people would never outrun the armies. Not all of them. Not even most of them.
They're getting closer,
a woman cried. The screams of others not far ahead of the crowd confirmed that. To the north, more explosions rocked the town. The Korax wouldn't plant ground mines here, so that was the Dominion armies at work. Black smoke rose in vast columns in the distance, thick and foul in its stench. I wondered if the Dominion was doing that as well, or if the Korax had lit the fires to buy themselves extra time. Where were the Korax anyway? While growing up, I'd heard about their battles with Lord Endrick's forces. They weren't ones to run away, to hide. They must be in the tunnels beneath the town. As was Darrow. I had to give him time to escape. My breaths came in bursts as I ran from the alley and climbed to the top of a broken wagon abandoned at the side of the road. I hesitated there, perfectly aware of the foolhardiness of calling attention my way. From here, I saw the chaos in the streets, heard the cries of the children being desperately hurried away, and choked on the bitter smell of smoke from the fires. Darrow never would have allowed me to take a risk like this. But he wasn't here to stop me, which was the point of climbing onto this wagon in the first place. I stood tall and shouted,
"Don't run! There are more of us than them! Fight back!"
"And be slaughtered!" a woman shouted.
"If you are, then fall while facing your enemy, not cowering from him. If you can wield a weapon, whether it's a bow or sword or a rock from beneath your feet, then wield it with pride. Fight!"
One such rock came hurtling through the air toward me, close enough that I had to duck to avoid it.
"Then we fight against you, Kestra Dalasor,"
someone yelled.
"I know who you are. You would trick us into surrendering."
Upon hearing my name, the crowd responded with stabbing glares, as if I had attacked the town, or brought the attackers here. Did they know this was my fault? I backed up, though on this wagon there wasn't anywhere to go.
"Will you be so foolish to fight someone who has no weapon while those who do are bearing down upon you?" "What weapon counters cannons and disc bows?"
someone yelled.
"What if they come on Condor?"
If they did, Sylvan would be erased from Entora's map. I dreaded the thought of it. Someone tossed a sword on the ground, near the wheels of the wagon.
"If it's easy to challenge Lord Endrick, you do it."
Challenging Lord Endrick. That was my role now. I was Endrian, but not evil. A rebel, but not a Korak. And Torin, but a traitor. Whatever that made me, I intended to fight. Hundreds of panicked people were filling the streets. It was so crowded that I had to push my way through them as I moved upstream with the sword in my hands.
Less than a minute later, I encountered the first soldiers. I knew how Endrick arranged his armies. He sent his weakest into battle first, expecting them to die but hoping they would force the enemy to reveal their strength. This first wave would all be Ironhearts, soldiers he considered expendable. Tools more than living beings. They were dangerous because of their numbers, not their skills. Darrow's training entered my mind. Be aware of your surroundings, but focus only on the enemy closest to you. So I did. I charged directly into the first soldier, a shorter boy who should have held a plow rather than a weapon, and stabbed him in the arm. He wasn't the first person I'd stabbed, or wanted to stab in the last few days. I would have to reevaluate my personal ethics on fighting. Later. Directly behind me, a second soldier raised his arm, volunteering the weakest point of his uniform to my sword. A third man had initially passed me by, but returned when his companions fell. He was a bigger challenge, but everything Darrow had ever taught me came to my mind. Feint when they thrust. Parry every blow. Look for their pattern, because everyone fights with a pattern. And then use that against them. And if you want to be good, then be the exception and never fight with a pattern. As soon as the third man fell, I waded farther upstream through the crowd. But now other Sylvanians were fighting with me. The second group of soldiers we encountered was larger, and far more skilled. Some had the glazed look of Ironheart soldiers, but not all. Worse still, this group carried lever blades, larger and newer than Gabe's. I had to be careful. So I attacked from behind, choosing my targets carefully. My biggest mistake cost me a scratch to one arm from a lever blade that its user separated too early. I answered with a stab wound of my own, one given with little mercy because the scratch was deep enough to scar, and I resented that. Two Sylvanians beside me fell, dispatched by a large soldier who turned my way, only to be stabbed in the back by a Sylvanian woman. These people were rallying to save their town. But where were the Korax? Korax rarely fought in open battles. They didn't train that way, and the general belief was that they had neither the numbers nor the weapons to compete with Endrick if it came down to an open battle, as this one was. But here, their homes and families were threatened, and I assumed the bulk of their weapons and storehouses. Surely they would not run and abandon all of that. Simon wouldn't run. I knew that. But where was he? And where was Darrow? Had he escaped that underground room? I needed to know for sure. I began running back toward the bookshop, but as I did, a screech echoed overhead. Condors. By my count, at least 10 of them. The first bird flew low, creating a shadow that stretched as wide as the road. I shuddered, seeing a rider on its back, wearing Endrick's colors, bringing Endrick's doom. As dangerous as the condors had been when Simon and I were forced to escape into the forest, it was their riders who had the power to destroy whole towns. Condor riders placed small cannons onto the backs of their birds, capable of spitting out fire pellets like a hailstorm. Simon's sword could swat away the pellets that came from a revolver, but even 100 swords couldn't counteract the scattershot from cannons. These cannons would have caused the explosion up the road, destroying buildings, flushing out all those in hiding, killing those who could not leave. Darrow. If I had not yelled at Celia, she would have been with Darrow. She could have helped him escape. Why had I been so foul to her? Another explosion shook the earth behind me. Take cover! I yelled to anyone within reach of my cry. In addition to the cannons, each rider held a disc bow. To my horror, they were firing down black discs like flower petals at a wedding. Each disc greeted its victim with slashing wounds that left screams all around me, including one man who had been running at my side. That disc could have been meant for me. Silver discs would have been bad enough. They had injured Darrow and killed the garrison who had been escorting me out of the lava fields. Silver discs were dangerous, but they weren't magic. Dominion soldiers carried discs created by Lord Endrick, ones that showcased his cruelty. There were discs of many different colors, but black discs were among the worst. They brought instant death, no matter where the victim was hit. The other color's effects had never been explained to me, and I didn't want to find out. Suddenly, an explosion above sliced through the air, and I instinctively ducked, covering my head with my arms. Pieces of the wooden buildings flew apart, their planks bursting from within. The flying shrapnel hit at least one condor, felling it. Its rider was instantly attacked and his blade stolen by the Sylvanians. When it was safer, I stood again, keeping my sword ready with one hand, but with the other shielding my eyes to better see what had happened. The explosion revealed an enormous series of small cannons on rotating platforms and at varying heights. Their operators, almost certainly Korax, began firing at the condors, hoping to chase them away. The condors tried fighting back, but were repelled by the cannons. Never in my life had I seen such a thing, or even conceived of it. The Korax might prove effective against Endrick after all. Then from the distance, the sound of barking dogs could be heard, running toward us. More dogs than I could count ran into the battle, immediately attacking the legs of the soldiers, bringing them down and dragging them away. They left everyone else entirely alone. About 50 or 60 Sylvanians had joined me this far into battle, all of them standing by, watching the dogs, as I was doing. It was better to let the Korax take over now. I ran again, pushing through the crowd, retracing my steps toward the bookshop. The condors hadn't gotten this far south yet, and I hoped the Korax would keep them busy where they were. The fallen wagon where I had stood was just ahead, though someone had moved it to act as a sort of barricade where a group of children were hiding. No, that wouldn't be good enough. "Run!" I called to them. "You must leave town!" The older ones took the younger children by the hand, or in their arms. "Don't stop running until it's quiet," I told them. "Be brave." And then I gave myself the same advice. The bookshop was just ahead. I harbored all my courage, or what was left of it, and tightened my grip on the sword. I had to get in and out before any condors came. But as I ran, I heard a single screech overhead, piercing the air and sending a spike of fear through me. "Run faster," I told myself. "Get to Darrow." I put a hand on the bookshop door, but as I did, a boom from cannon fire filled the air above me. Before I opened the door, the bookshop itself exploded. The blast threw me backward, almost in the middle of the road, the air bursting from my lungs. Even as I lay there, reeling from disorientation, one thought broke through. "Darrow." I screamed and flew to my feet, dizzy from shock and with my ears ringing like steeple bells. I wasn't steady, but at least I was moving. The bookshop was gone. Nothing more than strewn pieces of brick, long splinters of broken wood, and shards of glass. What didn't explode outward had collapsed into a deep hole in the ground where there had once been tunnels and a meeting room. Where Darrow had been. I stood there, suddenly frozen, incapable of movement or rational thought, or of conceiving the faintest idea of what to do next. Should I wait here, or run? Or dig through the wreckage? Maybe Darrow was still alive. But he couldn't be. Not unless he had already gotten out on his own. Like everyone else, he would have gone south. The same rider that had just leveled the bookshop released another round of fire pellets farther down the road, exploding a second building there. Darrow couldn't have gone far enough on his own to escape this devastation. I smelled fire. Smoke began rising from the bookshop, its immense heat licking my face and forcing me back. The flames seemed to be coming from below the wreckage. Fire was inside the tunnels, any that had not already collapsed. And giant shadows crossed above me. More condors. They had killed Darrow. I couldn't breathe. Sylvanians ran past me, some of them urging me along with them, but I didn't move. I didn't care enough to try. I had made myself a traitor, abandoned my family name, and with it every comfort, every security I'd ever known, all to save Darrow. Somewhere behind me, a horse charged through the crowd. I squinted up and saw Simon there, offering me his hand. I only stared back at it. "Darrow's dead." Another explosion behind us shook the earth, momentarily throwing me off balance. Simon's eyes flicked to what little remained of the bookshop. Then he held out his hand again.
We've got to go, Kes.
Did you hear me?
I screamed.
Dero is dead!
He dismounted, grabbed me by the waist, and pushed me onto the horse. When he climbed back into the saddle behind me, he put one arm around my waist and said,
I'm sorry, I really am. But if we don't leave, others will be mourning for us.
Somehow I held myself together as we rode alongside the fleeing Sylvanians. Tears streamed down my face, and my chest filled with more pain than I'd thought any person could contain. I didn't understand how I was still able to breathe, and barely cared if I did. Through all of that, we kept riding. Less than a mile later, Simon turned left at a crossroad, taking us towards some hills on the outskirts of the town. Waiting for us there, also on horseback, were Tanger and Gabe. Trina was with them, but had an ouropod with yellow-green markings that she must have taken from one of the Dominion soldiers. I was surprised that she knew how to approach such a creature without getting bitten, much less to ride one. I certainly didn't. Gabe had a deep cut on one arm, much worse than mine, but Trina and Tanger seemed to have escaped the worst of the battle. Were they good at fighting, I wondered, or better at hiding while their townspeople fought, while Dero died?
Let's take care of this,
Tanger said, eyeing me,
before she leads the armies to us as well.
Trina raised a knife.
She won't do that.
A wicked gleam brightened her eyes.
Let's see if you trust me now.
Chapter 44 Kestra. We rode into the hills until we were far enough from town that the battle noises became little more than an echo. How many deaths did each explosion represent? I couldn't help but wonder, and couldn't bear to think of the answer. A part of me remained in Sylvan, on that road in front of the bookshop. I never should have joined the fight. How arrogant that had been, to think I would make any difference. I should have gone directly into the bookshop to get Daryl. Still behind me, Simon had a hand on my arm. I barely felt it.
Maybe he escaped.
Maybe. But it hurt too much to have hope. The hills we were entering contained mostly grassland, dotted with trees as we rode higher. We dismounted behind the hills, where we'd have some privacy, at least until Endrick tracked me again.
What'll happen to the people back in Sylvan?
Gabe asked Tanger. The captain only shrugged.
I hope the Korax we left behind can do enough damage to save as many people as possible. But it won't be pretty. That was a slaughter.
It's her fault. Trina flung an accusing finger in my direction. She brought them to us.
She didn't know,
Simon said, crossing in front of me.
And she lost someone too.
Everyone in the group stopped to look at me, which I hated. In a gentle tone that actually sounded sincere, Trina said, I'm sorry, Kestra. I really am. Tanger added,
That was never the plan.
I didn't look at him. Couldn't force myself to. Did it matter that Darrow's death was not in the plan? Then Tanger continued.
We'll discuss this later, but for now, that tracker must come out. Trina, get your knife ready.
No!
I grabbed Simon's wrist, holding it with an iron grip. I knew little about medicine, but Trina's knife was filthy. Using that to cut into my flesh couldn't be good. Of course, keeping the tracker in my neck was worse. Tanger's voice was matter-of-fact.
If you won't cooperate, our alternative is to tie you to this tree and I'll ride away.
Let us do this, please. Simon put his hand over mine, hoping I would trust his words.
There's no other choice. They'll already be tracking you to this spot, tracking all of us.
This time, there was no demand in his eyes, only a pleading for me to listen to him, to believe him. I wiped my clammy hands on my skirts, mumbling, Just do it. The less time I had to think about it, the better. We were near a large poplar tree that had partially fallen, its trunk suspended from the ground by other trees that blocked its path. Tanger directed me to kneel beside it, and then to lean my forehead against the trunk so that my neck would be angled upward. Simon knelt on the opposite side of the tree,
and took my hands firmly in his.
I'll be with you the whole time, he said. You'll get through this.
Not if Trina does it, I said. And not with that knife. Gabe pulled another knife from his vest and held it out to Trina. I didn't know if it was cleaner than hers, but I was certain it could not be dirtier.
Trina's the only one with any medical training,
Simon said, keeping firm hold on my hands.
It has to be her.
I'm cutting near the spine. At least Trina seemed to be taking this seriously, though that was hardly enough to give me confidence in her. Hold still, Kestra, because one wrong move and you're either paralyzed or dead. Have you ever done this before? I've seen it done. Are you serious? I shook my head at Simon and tried pulling away. This is madness.
Having a tracker in your neck is madness, Tanger said. Now put your head down.
Gabe placed a stick between my teeth, and Tanger dumped something that smelled like alcohol over the back of my neck. My dress soaked up the extra liquid, leaving me with a cold chill that caused me to shiver. No, it wasn't the alcohol. I was too terrified to breathe.
It's all right.
Simon's voice was calm, but his eyes spoke otherwise.
I'm here.
No part of this was all right. None of this was right at all. I felt the edge of the knife against my skin. It was sharp, but Trina's grip was sure. Whatever it meant for me, she knew exactly where she would start. Hold still, Trina said. I screamed from the first cut, biting down on the stick to mute it, and Simon squeezed my hands tighter. A second cut followed, even deeper. Nausea enveloped me as lights flashed inside my tightly closed eyes. I see it, Trina said. It's the same ball used for Ironheart soldiers. Gabe handed her something that she used to retrieve the tracker. That part was far more painful than the cut had been. My nails dug into Simon's hands, and I couldn't feel him squeezing back anymore, though he must have been. Tanger poured more alcohol into the wound, which nearly made me leap from my skin. Gabe knelt beside me to steady my body shaking. Trina leaned down to show me the tracker, which I looked at but didn't really see. It struck me as similar to a small marble, but I wasn't focusing anymore. It's out, Trina said. I've got to seal the wound.
Gabe, go destroy the tracker.
Tanger was already fading from my view. Everything was fading. Nothing but gray corners moving inward.
I'll help with this.
I'd never know exactly what happened after that. Before I passed out, the last thing I heard was Simon telling me everything would be fine. Did I trust that? I had to. When I awoke, I was lying on some cut pine boughs, which I supposed were meant to be a sort of cushion while I slept. A cloak was spread out over me, one I'd never seen before. I vaguely wondered how long I'd been here. The sun had risen, and yet it didn't feel as if any time had passed. Simon, Tanger, Trina, and Gabe weren't far off, but they were huddled close together in quiet conversation. With an unsteady hand, I felt around for the sword I had found in Sylvan. It was gone, which was no surprise. One of them would have taken it while I slept. Next, I felt the back of my neck. I had expected the bandage would encircle my neck entirely, but they had sealed it against my skin with some wax. Trina was the first to notice my movement. That's a Korak technique. Her smirk was triumphant. As long as we keep the wound clean, if we seal it afterward, there's almost never any infection. Then I remembered Darrow, and suddenly I didn't much care whether I got an infection or not. Simon walked toward me.
From what we can tell, most of Sylvan was destroyed, but the battle has ended. The soldiers have left. We're safe for now.
Where's the tracker? Gabe smiled, obviously proud of himself.
I couldn't break it, so I fixed it to a branch and sent it downriver. The armies will be following that stick for miles.
Simon crouched beside me.
How do you feel?
Even shrugging hurt. Like someone who hates me just mind the back of my neck?
You're welcome, Trina said. If I wanted to kill you, I would have done it then. Remember that.
I remembered very little from last night, and far too much from before that.
She and I would never be friends.
What happens now?
We took a heavy loss last night.
Tanger had been tending to his golden leg, readjusting the strap where it was attached to his thigh. But he looked up.
I hate to say it, but the Korax may need to join forces with the Heltharians. We'll need their numbers to give our Infidon a chance of getting close to Endric.
The Heltharians have been content to sit back while we fight the Dominion, Gabe said. Why would they join us now?
Tanger smiled at me, before I turned away in disgust.
Because we have the Elden Blade. We'll go down to the Hiplands today.
The Dominion knew that's where most of the Heltharians had gone, but Endric had been forced to ignore the Hiplands in order to deal with the Korax. Simon said,
Gabe and Trina will go north and try to find any surviving Korax to begin regrouping.
His fingers interlocked with mine.
You and I will go with Tanger to the Hiplands.
To the Heltharians. Irritated, I pulled my hand away. Why not push me off a cliff now and save them the trouble?
Then you'll go north, as Trina's ransom against further Dominion attacks, Tanger said.
Another great plan. Tanger had treated me as ransom last night. How well had that worked out for him? Simon nodded at the cloak covering me.
Trina grabbed that on her way out of Sylvan. When we reach the Heltharians, keep the hood up. No one should notice you.
I hoped he was right. I didn't want to think of the Heltharians as enemies. They were Darrow's people, and Gerald's. But I doubted they'd afford me the same courtesy. I would go to the Heltharians long enough to see the new Infidant. Depending on who it was, I'd stay and fight, or get as far from this country as possible. I briefly wondered if Simon would consider leaving Antora with me. Would his feelings be enough to make him turn his back on his oaths, on his future? Could he ever love me, without condition, without second-guessing the wisdom of giving his heart to an Entrian? I wanted to ask, but if I did, I couldn't bear to hear him tell me no. So I wouldn't ask. I wouldn't allow myself to hope. If I left Antora, I'd go alone. Gabe had found a few wild bilberries, which he shared with all of us, though there weren't nearly enough to go around. I wasn't hungry, but Simon forced me to eat them anyway, insisting I take his as well. Tanger carried the Olden Blade, wrapped in a cloth and tucked in his belt. I had already casually checked his palm for a burn, wondering if he had tried to claim the blade, like me. There was no sign of a burn, so he must be waiting until the ceremony to make an official claim. If he had successfully claimed it, he would have told us. Before mounting his horse, Tanger pulled me aside. His attitude seemed different than his usual arrogance. He made no attempt to intimidate or frighten me, yet he still carried the authority of the man in charge.
There are some things you must accept, Kestra. Thousands of Antorans have died since Endric took power. Darrow's death is a cruel one to accept, but there will be more before we succeed.
Could he have survived? After years involved with the rebellion, Tanger had probably hardened beyond such foolish hopes.
Believe it if that helps you. But now that you're with us, you're going to see the true effects of war.
I'm not with you. Did he really think I'd ever fall in line behind him? I'll fight on my own, or leave on my own.
Then you'll die on your own. I know you think of us as enemies. I'd think the very same way if our positions were reversed. And maybe we were enemies when this all began, but I hope that will change in time.
I snorted, privately wondering how much time would have to pass before it was safe to tell him about my Endrian mother. 1,000 years? Maybe more? He continued.
If you are committed to bringing Lord Endric down, as I am, then can we start there? As friends?
I agree that Endric cannot be allowed to remain on the throne. But that does not make us friends.
I'm sorry to hear it,
he said, looking almost sincere.
Perhaps one day.
Perhaps when it rained oxen. Not a moment before. When I didn't respond, Tanger took the reins of his horse and swung into the saddle. We bid farewell to Gabe and Trina, and then Simon helped me into the saddle of his horse. I sat side saddle until I could find more appropriate travel clothes. Simon's arms went around me to hold the reins, but really, he was holding me, not so different from when he'd comforted me in the dungeons. Tanger took note of it, but said nothing, and I was grateful for the silence. I couldn't fight everything. It was enough to remember to keep breathing. Tanger set out ahead of us, taking us down the rugged coastline, high above the foamy seawater and deeper into the rolling hills. Their luster of the warmer months had faded, but spring would brighten them again. I thought of the loss of Darrow, and hoped better times would come again for me, too. "How long until we reach the Haldarians?" I asked.
"It's another 2 hours until we reach the Mist River," Tanger said. "We'll follow that south and hopefully get there by nightfall. I don't like the idea of us out in the open overnight."
I didn't like that idea either. Near the Hiplands, few settlements existed where we might beg for food or lodging. Even if there were, we all had the look of vagabonds. We'd just have to push on and hope the Haldarians welcomed us in. Simon and Tanger would be greeted warmly, considering the gift they were bringing. I'd be grateful for anything kinder than open knives in the hands of those who reached out to welcome me. Simon gradually put more distance between us and Tanger. When we were out of earshot, and he drew in a breath to speak, I jumped in first. An argument was coming. I intended to settle it in my favor.
"I told you I'd hidden the Olden Blade. It shouldn't matter where I hid it."
"You know it matters."
"Keeping that secret had nothing to do with my trust in you."
He scoffed.
"Didn't it? If you knew that I had the blade, you'd tell Tanger. Not to hurt me, but to protect me."
He started to answer, and I quickly added,
"You proved me right on that. Last night you revealed everything I'd told you about the dagger."
"Which saved your life."
"That's my point."
"What point? That you'd be better off dead?"
He snorted with anger. "Because that was going to happen."
A long silence passed before he spoke again.
"Is there anything else you aren't telling me? Any secret, even if it's small?"
I countered, "Is there anything you haven't told me?" A beat passed.
"No."
"That's not true, Simon." Every part of his face fell.
"I'm going to be reassigned. The only reason I'm still here is because we lost so many Koraks last night. After we give the blade to the Haldarians, I'm supposed to join the Koraks up north, without you."
A pit formed in my stomach. "Tanger's separating us?"
"He knows why I want to be with you, and that it has nothing to do with the Olden Blade."
More silence followed. I understood those reasons. I shared in them. But that wasn't his secret. "Are you going to obey Tanger?" I asked. "Go north?"
"What do you want me to do, Kes? Because I genuinely don't know."
He shrugged, hopeless and empty.
"Should I beg you to stay? Threaten you again?"
He drew in a deeper breath, one that seemed to cause him pain.
"Or let you go?"
"None of that." I lifted my hand to his cheek, borrowing his attention from the road ahead. "I want to see my reflection in your eyes again. I want you to fight with me when I'm wrong, and give in when I'm right. I want your courage, your compassion, your smile." I took one of his hands that held the reins and wove my fingers in with his. "And I want a chance to end that kiss differently." A shy smile tugged at his mouth. His lips brushed against the side of my neck, leaving a memory there. Now his smile widened, as if nothing existed in the world but us. His arm curled tighter around my waist, and I let myself fold into him. A chilly morning breeze washed over us, but I barely felt it. I was with Simon. I had all the warmth I needed.
"If you ride any slower, we won't be there until winter," Tanger called. "Hurry."
Simon chuckled and nudged the horse until it picked up the pace. Tanger had stopped to wait for us, but when he saw us coming again, he returned to the trail. We passed no other travelers on the way to the Haldarians, and any homes we came across had long been abandoned. Now little more than shells of forgotten lives. I wondered about the families who had lived here, and what chased them away. Was this the consequence of war, or its aftermath under Endric's reign?
"What are your plans?"
Simon asked, as if reading my thoughts.
"Still leaving Antora?"
"I'll go to the Haldarians, for now."
He said nothing, but a smile brightened his eyes when he looked at me. He believed I was staying because of him, and maybe I was, but there was more to it. After being part of the Dominion for so long, stained by their spoils of war, I owed something more to my country than simply abandoning it. Repairing some of the damage could become my redemption, and maybe proof of the goodness of at least one Endrian. Not far ahead of us, Tanger steered us off the road toward the Hiplands. He looked back long enough to assure himself we were still following, and politely nodded at me before turning around again. What if I accepted Tanger's invitation to join the Korax? Despite her bloodlines, Trina had joined. Would it be any worse for me? I laughed to myself. That'd be like asking if a blizzard was worse than a single snowflake. I was Endrian. I was the enemy.
The Haldarians will offer a feast in gratitude for bringing the Oldenblade, Tanger said. But I'll insist we go directly to the ceremony. The blade can't be claimed until the ceremony?
Simon asked.
Tanger shrugged. According to Haldarian beliefs, that's when the Infidant becomes official. And after it's over, then we'll tell them what we're offering.
Do you really think they'll unite with the Korax? I asked.
They will, if they believe it's a chance to return to power. The Oldenblade will be claimed tonight.
Tanger grinned over at me.
Maybe by a Haldarian from their clan? Or maybe the Korax have a Haldarian among us?
I changed my mind. Again. I could never take orders from Tanger. Simon continued.
Whoever it is, we must agree to support them, because without that dagger, we will all fail.
We need an Infidant to win, I said. But it's no guarantee either. There are still 1,000 ways we can lose. Tanger patted the wrapped Oldenblade at his side.
Whatever happens, tonight we will change the course of Antora's future. After tonight, the real rebellion will begin.
Yes, that was exactly my worry.
Chapter 45. Kestra.
The Dominion knew the Haldarians had begun to gather in the southern Hiplands, but Endrick still believed this was a broken clan, never to rise again. Life in the Hiplands was considered unsustainable due to the acidic soils, salty waters, and inedible vegetation. From what I'd overheard of Sir Henry's conversations on the matter, they figured the Haldarians had either all died out by now, or soon would. How wrong they were. Earlier on the trail, Tanger had told us the Haldarians called their village Nestle, and had warned us not to expect much. He was wrong, too. The instant we passed through the town gates, a blossom unfolded before us. This was no mere village. The Haldarians were doing more than gathering. They were resurrecting themselves.
I heard they were trying to set up trade agreements with Redengrad,
Tanger mused.
They must have succeeded. I'll say.
Simon poked my arm.
Maybe you should have married Sir Basil. He's probably very wealthy.
As he told me, several times, I replied. Though Basil must have been sincere, because if Redengrad had this much to offer Nestle, I could imagine what the country itself was like. In a brief survey of the town, we saw finely woven curtains hanging in every window. Shops full of goods lined the small market square, and at the sides of the road, wagons were ready to be loaded, I assumed, for more trading in the coming days.
Was this where they brought you when you were kidnapped?
Simon quietly asked me. I never made it this far south. The place they took me was a temporary camp. A lot of tents. Still, I raised the hood on my cloak and for the first time became grateful for the shabby dress from the wagon. No one would look twice at me.
Why is it so quiet?
Tanger sat at full attention in his saddle.
Where is everyone? Listen.
Simon stopped our horse. Off in the distance, a voice could be heard, though we were too far to hear any words. A meeting? That's what it sounded like. A swell of worry rose in my chest, remembering every minute of my time with the Haldarians before. Why had I thought it was safe to come here? As if they'd forget what they'd done to me, how they'd failed? Simon sensed my fear, and wrapped an arm tighter around my waist, a reassurance I very much needed.
They must have known we were coming.
Tanger untied the satchel holding the Olden Blade, and we all dismounted.
They're expecting us.
The meeting was being held at the edge of town, in a field surrounded by a waist-high stone wall, and dug down at a gentle angle to create an amphitheater. The townspeople sat hip to hip on the hillside grass, facing the staging area at the bottom. I recognized the voice of the speaker. It was Thorn, the man who had been involved in my kidnapping and the attack at the inn. Darrow trusted him, I reminded myself, and hoped Darrow had not been hallucinating with pain at the time he told me so.
My friends,
Thorn was saying,
we have gathered you from throughout Entora because there is strength in numbers. There is no better time to act, to claim the heritage of power. The Haldarians have never been cowards, never ones to hide and accept our fate. Our time to rule Entora has come again.
Enthusiastic cheers rose from the audience. Several people here surely remembered the glory of ruling from the Scarlet Throne, when they were the beacon of Entora. They had hidden in the shadows long enough.
Before we commence, let's have a song. The Haldarian Anthem.
It began as a somber, serious tune, one I'd never heard before. Of course, it was rare to hear any music at all in Entora, so I wasn't sure how to react. But I liked it. I longed to be part of it. As the anthem rose in spirit, we felt ourselves pulled in closer, until Simon and I were standing behind the stone wall, with Tanger keeping watch a little farther off. Several other Haldarians were crowded in front of us, making it impossible to see.
What are you doing?
Simon asked. I put a hand on his shoulder, using him as a brace for balance as I climbed the stone wall and stood on the top of it. Now I could see. Or be seen. I had to be careful. Thorn was alone on the stage, and as I studied the intentness with which the other Haldarians were following his lead, I realized they held him in great esteem. If only they had cared this much when he tried to tell them I was not to be harmed or threatened, things might have turned out very differently. The anthem ended with cheers and applause. As it did, Thorn's eyes grazed over the crowd, ending with me. Even with my hood on, he nodded in recognition and started to speak again. But all I heard was a thud behind me and a body falling to the ground. I turned to see Simon collapsed on the ground, unconscious. Kneeling beside him was Tanger, though he had a cut over one eye. What had happened? Tanger pointed to his left, where a large crowd of townspeople were in a densely packed clump.
The attacker ran that way.
Who was it?
I don't know. A spy, maybe? Someone grabbed me from behind, trying to get the blade. Simon stopped him, but took a hit.
Tanger reached for his knife to give chase, but I shook my head. If Tanger and I started a fight with one Haldarian, we'd soon be fighting all of them. Help me get Simon somewhere safe. Then we'll figure out what to do next. I pointed to a building across the road with a sign identifying it as a cobbler's shop. It would have to do. Tanger tucked the wrapped Olden Blade in his belt and picked up Simon's arms while I took his legs. A fat lump was already forming on the side of his head. Someone clearly didn't like the idea of us arriving here with that dagger. The cobbler's door was open, and his shop was dark, save only for the waning sunlight filtering in through a front window. The small room smelled strongly of leather, which was to be expected considering the number of shoes we saw.
Let's lean him against the workbench.
Tanger cocked his head toward the back of the room.
That'll make it easier to tend to his wound.
I agreed, and we set him down as gently as we could. While Tanger removed Simon's sword so he could sit comfortably, I tore the bottom of my skirts to get enough fabric to wrap his head. I set to work at that, listening to Tanger explore the rest of the shop, ensuring we were alone. I wrapped the wound and tied the knot to the side of his head. That should help, but there must be a physician in town who can examine him.
We'll find one, after the ceremony is over.
I shook my head, brushing my fingers across Simon's cheek. No, let's do it now. I'll go, if you stay and watch him. Something sharp pressed against my back, possibly one of the cobbler's tools for cutting the leather for the shoes. It was there as a threat, confirmed by the coldness of Tanger's voice.
You made this too easy, my lady, coming in here.
I didn't move,
Simon is hurt.
Then I drew in a breath.
And you hurt him. Why?
Tanger was his captain. Simon had sworn loyalty to Tanger and had followed every order he'd ever been given. In return, the captain had brought a rock down on his head.
He'll be fine. Simon needed some sleep, and you need to get out of my way.
Tanger tossed me some leather cord.
Tie his hands.
He poked me in the back with the tool, prompting me to obey.
You have the Olden Blade, I said. Why is any of this necessary? Just claim it.
Tanger chuckled.
I'm not one of them, my lady. If I were, trust me, this dagger would already be mine.
And if I were one, I'd have claimed it first. The burn on my palm proved the truth of that. As I continued working on Simon's knots, he said,
None of this would have been necessary if you had joined the Korax when I asked you to earlier.
I snorted.
Pledge loyalty to someone who attacks one of his own and then threatens my life?
Pledge loyalty to the group that will bring forth the Infidant. It isn't too late, Kestra. Swear fealty to us, and you'll walk beside me to that ceremony.
What about Simon?
He shrugged.
Until I have your loyalty, I don't really have his. Your oath can save him, too.
My oath to whom?
I looked back at Tanger.
Who do you want to claim the dagger?
He checked my knots.
Tighten them. I'm not stupid.
Aren't you?
I asked, though I began tightening the knots anyway.
The Infidant could only ever be one person,
Tanger said.
The natural heir to Risha's dagger.
When I finished with Simon's knots, he pulled out another length of leather cord.
Now you lean against the workbench, right next to Simon. Put your hands around the bench leg. Do it, Kestra.
I did as he said, and when he began tying my wrists, I muttered, Then who is Risha's heir?
Trina told me that you found the prophecy carved on the wall of cell number 4.
One to vanquish, one to rule, one to fall, but all to fool. I mumbled. No doubt the last line is a reference to what a fool you are.
You're half correct.
He smiled, entirely pleased with himself.
The last line does reference me, and how I've successfully fooled everyone. For I have secretly put the Olden Blade into the hands of Risha Haldarian's daughter.
I froze. Risha had a daughter? I tried to pretend that I didn't care about the answer, and failed at that too. Because no matter how I wished otherwise, I already knew it. Trina?
She is the natural heir to the Olden Blade.
Tanger finished tying my hands.
There is no question of how the ceremony will end tonight.
Trina? The girl who had threatened me with nearly every breath she drew? The girl who raged at the loss of a meal, hid her emotions with all the subtlety of the noonday sun, and who listed as her chief personal concern the desire for acceptance. This was who he wanted to entrust with bringing down the Dominion? At her best, it might take Endric a full minute to devour her. He continued.
We rode slowly to give her time to arrive without your interference. The ceremony will begin as soon as I pass the Olden Blade to her. It will end with the precious dagger in the hands of a Korak.
I barely heard his words. If Trina was Risha's daughter, then she probably did have the greatest claim upon the Olden Blade. She would become the Infidant, the one to vanquish.
I know you don't like or trust her,
Tanger said.
I know she has flaws, but as the child of Risha Haldarian, she has a unique destiny. After tonight, she alone will have the ability to kill Lord Endric.
Or to be killed by him. They might as well save time and give the Olden Blade to Endric now. Others may come forward, I said. The dagger may yet accept someone else as its master.
No, Tanger said. It will be Trina or no one. That's my job.
Is that your only job? What about the second line of the prophecy? He grinned, so arrogant I felt my fists curling.
One to rule. Yes, that will be fulfilled tonight as well.
With that, he picked up his knife again, a weapon I now understood he would use against any other Haldarian who tried to claim the dagger, or the